I could do that short, fat Italian guy.
Almost everything. You got to remember now. You fight great, but I'm a great fighter. Huh? You ready?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. You know, Stallion, it's too bad we got to get old, huh?
Just keep punching, Apollo.
I must break you. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 228. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian, three dogs, and a Creed in the pool, Dunaway.
That's disgusting. All right. Right. Okay, I'm going to do my Sylvester Stallone impression, but I always have to do like, you know, one of those key things before you start. It's like, so you have to kind of do that to get into character, right? Is that how you guys get into it?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Luke Apollo, I know you told me not to stop the fight, right? But I got to be honest. You're not looking too good. And your wife and the other black guy, the one that's not James Brown, they're looking at me real funny. So just give me a couple of pelvic thrusts onto the mat, and I won't throw in the towel, right? Because we're warriors, and we don't give up. We get up. We don't give up. We get up.
That thing got real weird at the end, your impression of his voice. Yeah. I don't know.
You gotta turn into a Kramer.
I don't know what to think of it. Also with us, Randy, I don't remember the robot Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. Happy holidays to you all. I'm reminded of the year I took a temp job during the holiday season training a prize fighter for his big matchup on Christmas Day. True story. I learned three big life lessons. One, the KGB minders assigned to you probably can't follow you wherever you're going. Two, what happens in the cabin at night, far from civilization, stays in the cabin, far from civilization, except chlamydia. And three, when you're working out in snow up to your nipples and you have to pee, just pee. You don't even have to open up your own union suit. Just pee.
I'm making a tunnel.
That is one of the beauties of working out in the tundra. With us finally, Brian, this is the fake Russia I remember, all right, Ibbot.
Hello, guys. So I'm going to do one of these, too. Okay. Yo, Adrian, I'm going to go out for a drive, clear my head. There we go. I'll put in the song No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper as I think about the challenge before me. Oh, it's flashback time. Oh, there's me and Apollo running on the beach. Here's us jumping in the air and hugging. Oh, yeah, there's Adrian at the top of the stairs looking sad at me. Oh, there's Drago. Oh, yeah, I remember that time Apollo fought Drago and died. Oh, yeah, there's me and Apollo on the beach again. Mm. Oh, and there's Adrian again. Yeah. Oh, the song's over. Oh. Holy shit, right? Holy shit, I think I drove to Russia.
There's no easy way out.
Oh, that's the music, dude. The music in this movie.
Right.
Hey, every Rocky movie has got the music to get you pumped.
Well, yes. That's the theory. This one has got a couple of moments where I could have been pumped maybe in 1985, but I am not pumped at all right now about Rocky IV. In a lot of ways, and it used to be, and it may still be, my second favorite Rocky movie. We'll get to all that in a minute, though. Let's let Scott Fletcher explain more about Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. Rocky must come out of retirement to battle a gargantuan Soviet fighter named Drago, who brutally punished Rocky's friend and ex-rival, Apollo Creed. Seeking revenge in the name of his fallen comrade and his country, Rocky fights Drago in Moscow!
Ooh, he can do it.
Oh, wait, I didn't think Rocky was retired in this one. I'm not calling Scott absolutely. Fletcher out.
No. The description is wrong in Netflix because it does indicate that, and he's not retired. He's still heavyweight champion.
I prefer the IMDb description, which gives everything away in like 5 seconds.
Well, it's because some dude wrote it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, read it.
Yeah, after Iron Man Drago, a highly intimidating 6'5", 261-pound Soviet athlete kills Apollo Creed in an exhibition match. There goes the whole half of the movie.
Yep.
Right. Rocky comes to the heart of Russia for a 15 pile driving boxing rounds of revenge. Guess how many rounds they go? Mm. You don't have to think he's going down the first.
Right.
That's weird. That's
weird.
It will
last 15 rounds.
Yeah. That's weird that they...
We'll montage the middle 13.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you didn't say. And that montage.
So blissful.
I lost,
so much
by the way.
For montaging the middle 13.
I lost. Yeah. I lost track. I just kept going off in my head. And it was easily like 8 montages or something. It was
crazy. It would have been awesome if at some point in the movie they would have cut to the film editing crew for a film editing montage.
Yeah.
A montage making montage.
Yeah. That'd be good. I would have watched that, actually. It'd have been all right. So I came into this remembering that I loved the movie at the time, and I still think it's right up there. But that actually says some bad things about the series. Mm. I think the first one's kind of boring and homemade.
Well,
a lot of people are going to get...
The first one's a drama. It's not a boxing movie.
Yeah, people are going to get mad at me for saying that, but that's how I feel about the first one. It's okay. It's fine.
Spoiler, he never even wins a fight in the first one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's totally about... About what life is like in poverty in Philadelphia.
Exactly. That is exactly it. That's the storyline.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. And finding a girl and, you know, eating a lot of raw eggs and stuff like that. That's that whole movie.
And chasing chickens.
Sure. I remember having fun with 3. I remember thinking 2 was a real drag.
Did he chase chickens in 2 then? Am I thinking about that wrong?
Maybe.
Am I jumping ahead?
That was the big... That's where he beat Apollo finally, right?
Right.
That was the deal. Well, all right. So 2 is fine, whatever. It's throwaway. 3 was fun from a kid's perspective because Mr. T was in it.
Yeah. Well, and Hulk Hogan.
And Hulk Hogan. Oh, right. I forgot Hulk Hogan, the whole wrestling thing.
I skimmed through 3 after I got through with this one because I was like, I wanted to watch a real movie because there was nothing in this one.
Then came 4, which is this one. And it's, as somebody who was young in 85 and really thought it was awesome, that was my movie that was my Rocky movie to go with. That was the one that I had the most fun with. Then the next one was terrible, and we've done that on this show. 5. 5 is bad. Mm-hmm. 6, Rocky Balboa, which isn't called 6 or even,
right.
Yeah.
Rocky.
It's more like a return to the first one.
Balboa, right?
That's a fantastic movie. Really well done. But it is kind of back to being a drama then.
Well, right, and it has the benefit of basically Sylvester Stallone getting 25 years to learn how to construct a movie, how to construct a script.
Yeah,
you know what belongs and doesn't. Yeah, like I will bet you if you watch say Rocky 2 and then watch Rocky 6, you'll notice that in Rocky 6 he gives himself a lot fewer complicated lines to deliver.
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's good at it. Basically,
your nose is bleeding.
He's basically a producer and a filmmaker of a different ilk. And I know, it seems funny to say that because now he spends most of his time making sequels to the Untouchables or whatever the hell it is. What's it called?
Expendables.
The Expendables.
3 straight Expendables movies since he made. See the Rocky Balboa and the John Rambo. What is it? Rambo 4.
Yeah.
You know, he made back to back.
Yeah.
He poured a lot of like personality into those movies. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me that he then thought, oh, I'll make even more personality out of a relationship with Jason Statham.
Yeah, right.
But that's gonna
work so much. Yeah.
We just wanna see people shoot guns.
Yeah,
right. I kind of actually like that dynamic.
Which one? Him and Statham?
Him and Statham.
No, they're fine. Look, those are throwaway good times. There's nothing those movies are harmless, whatever. They're just nothing special. Whereas I felt like for whatever reason, I felt like Rocky Balboa was him going, I'm going to get back to my basics here. I'm going to get back to my roots. I'm going to embrace the maturity that's come over the last 25 years. I'm going to make a really good, serious movie and kind of blow people away. And the critics loved it, blah, blah, blah. And then just kind of nothing after that. And you're right. The Rambo movie was a little more that way, too. But since then, I just thought we'd get more, I don't know, more of these quiet projects from Stallone. And they aren't happening.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So, but coming around to Rocky IV, it is amazing watching it in 2014 and realizing that this was the moment when Stallone and a lot of people discovered how music videos are constructed.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And then made a feature film. There must not have been many feature films like this.
Mm.
There were not.
It worked.
It spoke to us at the time because, to me, I remember watching this movie back in the day, and it totally got me fired up.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember it being really rich and full of feels. And this time I was like, not so much. But my son, who's 13, who watched it with me, he was all about it.
Are you sure? He wasn't like, Dad, this is dumb.
No, he actually got kind of excited a couple of times. And it's like,
it is comfort food movie.
It
like
totally
the movie
is.
Edition of comfort food. It's
right.
We're going to hand you. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
we're going to hand you everything okay, that you possibly need. You're not going to have to think very hard.
Not
you're not going to have to really.
We're going
to
pretend like you have brain damage.
Yeah.
right. We're going to pretend that you got a head like a punching bag. You know, you're not going to have to really worry. You don't even try to guess what's going to happen, because you know what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. and we're not gonna make you think that that's not what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And there you go. There's your comfort.
That's
food.
Basically the movie. Yeah, and it's fine.
It's mac and cheese.
In '85, I was rooting for it. I was stoked. I was screw the Russians era for this country. Everybody wanted to do whatever it could in entertainment to make the Russians look bad, and this movie made them look terrible and awful.
Were you guys kind of surprised to remember like the details of what it was like before the Cold War ended?
Oh yeah, no, this was great. This was a great way. This is a great primer on that, at least on the American propaganda side of it, because it felt like they were hitting all the right buttons. Like, it is stark and cold and angry and cheatery and mean and terrible.
But
there,
at the same time, Stallone didn't go full on jingoistic to start. He made out the Americans to be some freaking boorish jerks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
I
found that it was good, because, you know, that this movie was all about being on the top and about to go down the roller coaster, you know, about things are just about at an end for him. And so I think that worked out pretty well.
Remind me, he retires after Mr. T. Yeah.
I thought he retired after.
No,
he
after Apollo Creed.
I'm sorry. It would have been five. Or no, you know what? We should know this, because we saw that one.
We saw five. Yeah.
At the beginning, he's having those terrible like heart attack flashbacks of Drago.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like, basically, they pulled an Alien 3 on us.
Right.
Because at the end of this, he's created the great divide. The great divide has been sealed between the Americans and the Russians. And we've finally found this common ground. And the freaking premier of Russia is clapping for the American winner of this boxing propaganda match. And right. somehow that's all supposed to be realistic, which is so not realistic. But anyway, at the end of all that, that should have been the greatest moment of his career. In Rocky V, it starts with him freaking out in the bathroom or whatever and having a total meltdown because he's having bad memories of Drago beating the hell out of him, right?
Right. And that's the thing. Like, there's tons of talk about Apollo retiring and Rocky retiring and so forth. But ultimately, Rocky beats Clubber Lang. And then he and Apollo have a, you know, a friendly, which is returned to at the beginning of this one, which is so freaking confusing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's really confusing how this movie starts with a fight, and then these guys are going into, it's a flashback, but if you haven't just watched Rocky III, you don't realize that. It looks like they came out of a fight, and they went into a friendly sparring match in the back room together.
Yeah. Right after the fight. Oh, why are you all suited up for a boxing match, Apollo?
Let's take really you to the gym.
They're wearing their padded pajamas.
Oh, yeah. Those are hot. Yeah, those are
exactly.
hot.
They really should have began this movie with previously on Rocky.
They really should have. But that's how they start all of the Rockies after two, the right two and on after that.
Yeah, because five began with chunks of this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So what I'm getting at is these flashback montages are really confusing, and I don't understand how the editor came away going, oh, that tells a story. It doesn't. It's just exciting little clips of different things.
It yanks on whatever nostalgia you may have had for the movie that came out 2 years previous. Right. Like, if you had a lot of feelings for the Mr. T one, then you saw the opening of this and went, oh, yeah, remember that with Mr. T? And it primed you for where you're at now. It's a weird technique. I don't think it's that great.
Well, it's unnecessary. Now, another movie that did it around this time was Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. But it did it because stuff took place right after Karate Kid 1. Like, there was basically the opening scene of Karate Kid 2 takes place outside of where the match was in Karate Kid.
Yeah, they picked 1. It right up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They picked it right up, and Miyagi, you know, grabs the head of the Kublai Khan, and does his whole like with the nose.
Right.
This one was so unnecessary because it went into this really confusing thing. Like, yeah, he's coming out of that match, beat Mr. T, and now Apollo, who's all suited up for a fight, are in the back room, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was so unnecessary. It just seemed like, if you know, do you need to know what Rocky did up to this point?
He did they did a literal previously on Rocky. It wasn't for any other narrative reason.
Right. It wasn't continuity. Uh-uh. It really was. Yeah.
It really was. This is what happened last week on ALF. And so, okay, good, because I missed it.
I genuinely believe that they made a different movie. And it was a movie about the trappings of wealth, extreme wealth.
Yeah.
And how that can can set you back and so forth.
Yeah.
And then they came to about 45 minutes long and went, oh, wow, we have a long way to go to make a feature film, and just started putting in montages and flashbacks. And
you know, we need some montage. You know what we need? Some robots. You know what else we need? Polly having sex with the robot. You know what else we need?
I could have gone
like,
for that.
Seriously, because I like, there's a whole other movie going on here that doesn't get told, a story that is just kind of left by the wayside. Well, and it was cool to be taken back in time 28, 29 years and think about, wow, these people are so wealthy,
yeah,
like crazy wealthy, mm-hmm. and it doesn't come through now.
No.
If you're a 15-year-old watching this movie today, you're just like, what?
We have a robot.
I don't see, this doesn't, this.
Really have a Roomba. Well,
we have a Lambo out in the front yard. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We have a room where a kid and his two friends can watch the match. Like, it's not, there.
But, the like, kid, did you see the telephone?
Yeah.
Like, the phone. Everything about it was if you're watching it in its time, extreme wealth. You get that.
Yeah.
You know, like now I'm looking at the, like, it took me a moment when they were driving out into the tundra.
Yeah.
It took me a moment to realize, wait a minute, these guys aren't driving German cars. They're driving Eastern German cars.
Yep. Those are stark.
That is something.
Yeah. Those are grim.
That is a statement. You don't get that statement at all in 2020.
No, not at all. It's all before the wall fell. All that stuff is so draconian and old, and you just don't think about it. But when you're in the middle of it, like, I think the reason I don't remember the robot at all, I don't remember it. It came up, and I went, "What the hell is that?"
That's a good looking robot, by the way.
It was such a shark jumper, dude, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, "This is a thing. I accepted this, and I must have just. It must have been part of that, Randy. Like the feeling that." Oh, yeah, well, anybody with the money that this guy must have,
rich people
they
have robots,
things we don't have, which would be like this robot. But right. Now I just go, no, that's a bad idea. That is a really terrible movie idea. Shouldn't have done that. Mr. Five is alive at Rocky Balboa's house.
Right,
but that
exactly.
was, you got to admit,
no,
I mean, even
I
after all of these years, the robot design,
no,
that's a pretty kick-ass
no,
robot.
No,
that well, is a good-looking
it's
robot.
It's a real robot. I mean, it's like, it's not a dude dressed in a robot costume going, meep, mop, morp, here's your birthday cake.
That was a slick-looking robot, man, I'm telling
meep,
you.
Meep, mop, morp.
Meep, mop, morp.
I like that a lot.
I'm not programmed to.
No, you're right. It's just, Brian, you're right. It's not terrible, but it's terrible. I mean, it's not.
Watching it now, it's just
I mean,
ridiculous.
85, a lot of the robots were really squared off and, you know, this very... boxy looking. This was very
okay from a design, sure. From that kind of design perspective, sure. But this idea that Polly had the wherewithal to make it female so he could get all horny with it.
He just changed Siri. It was
easy. Oh, geez. That was, yeah, that's all it was. It's not forward thinking. It's terrible. It was a bad idea. I cannot believe they did it. But the fact that it's in there still, just I can't even believe it's in there. In fact, I felt like almost asking you guys, was there a robot in that movie? Did I see that right? Or was that not?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I feel like they had this other thing happening. And it wasn't the movie that they, you know, really expected or wanted the audience to see, because what an interesting story about all the wealth. And then Rocky loses his best friend and he has to go around the world and get away from it all to find it in himself to do something about his problems.
Yeah.
And then she shows up after weeks.
She shows up.
Well,
she shows up.
trope of we got to get the menfolk out here.
Yep.
Oh, dude. They have
problems
movie.
every freaking episode of Rocky. They have a problem.
Yeah.
Every
right.
time.
I know they really can't. They might as well just break up and then. But, right. Okay,
well,
I haven't seen six, so no spoilers.
The relationship story he always wanted to tell was one of these two people who aren't perfect for each other, who don't get, like, understand each other that well, but desperately want to be together and are constantly dealing with all this different stuff. And mm-hmm. so what I'm getting at is this should have been the movie where they figured out how to deal with being wealthy. And they just, I don't know why, it just kind of fell by the wayside once that...
Wasn't the next one how to deal with Polly squandering all the money? Wasn't, or was that three?
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's five.
The mm-hmm. next one?
Five, okay. All right.
Oh,
he's
that's right.
Stuff
that was
for
five.
His robot.
But see, I was talking before the episode today. Polly, to me, seems to be the linchpin behind everything Rocky. It feels like to me, it's like this is everything rotates really around him. I mean, there's still
he's there for
he's the narrator.
No, he's not. He's there for comedic value.
I think he's the droids from Star Wars. I think he is that.
No. Actually, Burgess Meredith was set to be the narrator for all these movies, like the thing that tells you what in the world is actually going on.
Yeah.
But it just didn't.
And then Rocky tastes some chickens.
Yeah.
Stallone realized if you're going to make a string of movies, you got to kill people.
Mm. Well, didn't he? I thought he. Oh, no, he didn't actually die because later he did Grumpier Old Men or whatever. Yeah. So he was still around. That's true. He killed him off. But
well,
okay.
It's got to be weird to be Apollo Creed coming into this movie. Like oh, new Rocky script. Let's see what's.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
I'm not getting Action Jackson 2, so I'm happy to be in this. That'd be great.
I'm in this for 10 minutes.
I'd like my own spinoff, please.
I get to get up and do the most embarrassing dance to a James Brown song ever.
Oh, good Lord.
I thought James Brown was dead by this point. He looked really good in this movie.
No, he was well alive. That song was a huge hit, too, wasn't it? Number one record.
It was. Totally. Huge.
Not just this was the most predictive thing ever in a Rocky movie. Like, looking at it now,
I knew James Brown was coming. I just knew it.
Looking at it now is surreal because all at once you realize, okay, there had never been anything like this in reality when this movie came out. No one had ever showboated this hard before a fight.
Yeah, it didn't exist as an idea.
But then that's exactly what reality became. And freaking Don King, such a successful promoter that there isn't a number two. That Don King has run around for 20 years carrying flags in his hands, and this song is his personal theme song.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he doesn't get the irony to that. Like, wow, this movie actually is, in this moment, is ludicrously predictive.
Mm-hmm. It isn't, but then, like you said earlier, you see it now, and if you hadn't seen it before, or even if you'd had, none of this stuff feels predictive of anything. It feels rote and old. Mm-hmm. In a way that I don't just mean because the movie's old, but that like, oh, well, yeah, that's not too crazy that you'd have a big entrance for a boxer now, or that's not too crazy that a promoter would be a little bit nuts, or that somebody's doping and using crazy equipment to train, or, you know.
It starts with a crazy press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while you're watching it, you're thinking, whoa, Apollo Creed's a maniac.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, he's like, how'd I do? Yeah. You go, oh, it was all an act. Yeah. Of course it was. And that's the way 100 press conferences before different kinds of fights have gone since this movie.
Since then, yeah. I feel like it helped write the book for it. And now they read the book. Here's an interesting piece of stuff here. So Lundgren, not his first movie, but his big breakout role. He was also in that James Bond movie. What was it called? It was somebody's bodyguard. A James Bond movie. Anyway, him and Stallone decided to actually hit each other. And they thought that would help the scenes. So they were doing all these rib punches and stuff were real. So Rocky's taking all these shots to the ribs. They did a ton of that. He felt this weird burning in his chest the next day. Ignored it. Later that night, had difficulty breathing. Taken to a nearby ER. It was discovered that his blood pressure was over 200. And he had to be flown to a low-altitude flight to Canada's St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. Why does that say Canada? Oh, from Canada, sorry. Not to Canada. That doesn't make sense. The way I said it now makes sense. Anyway, he remained in intensive care for 8 freaking days. And what had happened, I guess, is he punched him so hard in the chest, Stallone's heart had slammed up against his breastbone and started swelling. And it cut off the blood and restricted oxygen and stuff throughout his body. So we just about lost Sylvester Stallone to the likes of a new up-and-comer
and
Dolph Lundgren.
What a movie it could have been. I don't want to see Sylvester Stallone die, but if this character had gone and done all the workout and everything and this big fight on Christmas Day, and then they kill him in the ring,
dude,
just like they killed Apollo an hour earlier?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that would have
never
been
would have seen that coming.
Yeah, the movie wouldn't have. Well, also, the movie wouldn't have been made. I don't think they would have finished.
I think
your director, your writer, and your star is dead. I don't know, man.
Dude, freaking, can you imagine the final scene with Talia Shire and what's his name, the replacement for Burgess Meredith?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the montages then? Oh,
who is the.
Tony Burke.
No, yes, Tony Burke. But we haven't even mentioned. What's her name from Celebrity Rehab? I can't think of her
Bridget,
name.
Bridget Nielsen.
Bridget Nielsen, yeah.
Yes. Who looked a lot better here
than
she did recently.
It was either a year before or after Beverly Hills Cop 2. So she was kind of in the prime of whatever she was doing.
Right.
For good or for
this
ill.
She's a pre-Flava Flav.
Hey, you know those, speaking of pre-Flava Flav, you know these lists on IMDb where they say these people all auditioned for the role. And usually we're like, I don't believe it.
Last week, you can't top what you did last week.
I'm not sure. I think I can. So
tell us who was up for the role of Rocky.
Well,
this will lend some real credence to IMDb's list.
Well, I don't have that list, but I do have the list of who all supposedly auditioned for the role of Ivan Drago. And I'm going to call this bullcrap out of the gate, but here it is. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vernon Wells, Brian Thompson, Patrick Swayze, Kurt Russell, Peter Weller, Michael Biehn, David Hasselhoff, Tom Selleck, Jean-Claude Van Damme, William Sadler, Jürgen Panachchow, Johnny Depp. Depp in 85?
Johnny Depp, sure.
That's how you know this is bullcrap.
It's somebody's list of popular people.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, Brad Pitt, Charlie Sheen. This is bullshit.
Somebody's using Paulie's robot to pre-build these.
Robert Patrick, too short. Yeah, this is so.
Oh my God, Randy's onto something. This actually could be. You might be right. It may be the same list that somebody just copies and pastes.
Yeah, somebody's trolling all these movies with a list of alternate people that's just famous people that they've heard of from the '80s.
Is Eric Stoltz or Viggo Mortensen in your other list? Because they're on this.
This is the Three Wolf Moon of IMDb.
Yeah,
it is.
It kind of is. So I only point that out as a stupid thing, and we will check future movies to see if they try to pull this off again. But that is all bullcrap. Kiefer Sutherland as Ivan Drago.
Last week we were talking about how it's crazy because it was hard to imagine Batman, the 1989 Batman, with someone else because Michael Keaton himself is so original,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you have to get into a weird frame of mind to imagine a different Batman. This is the opposite. This is perfect.
Yeah.
They couldn't have cast a better person.
No, he was dead on.
I mean, he's exactly what the script calls for. Why would we even talk about alternate castings for this guy?
Yeah, wait, you're telling me you've got a big, very white, Norwegian, Russian-looking dude who doesn't really need to speak at all, hardly, maybe just 2-3 lines at the most, and he is enormous
good.
And is 6-foot whatever and looks like that?
Right.
Why would you ever have open casting
right.
if you knew
now,
that guy existed?
If you're making this movie 20 years later, I want to talk about Vladimir Klitschko and Oleg Taktarov and so forth, but in 1985...
Those are the first two names I thought of.
Yeah, I know. Oleg Taktarov, always. It's a Sunday dinner conversation
always right
piece.
On the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, centerpiece of our home.
Vladimir Klitschko just had a baby.
Oh, see?
Oh, yeah.
Someone
that's
has a
weird.
Web page.
I never knew
a little Klitschko running around.
Someone has a strange alternate Drago web page up. I don't know what that is.
Vladimir Klitschko is a Hayden Panettiere's.
Oh. That's who she's with.
Yeah.
He throws her around like a little
save the cheerleader, save the world.
Oh, never forget.
I totally forgot.
Here's a great little piece of trivia for you. The training scenes set in Russia were actually filmed in Wyoming.
That's what I was thinking.
The running up the rocks and you're Drago!
Such crap. It's in Jackson Hole. It's beautiful up there.
Jackson Hole.
Most of the exterior shots were filmed in the Grand Teton National Park. The fight itself was shot in PNE Forum and Hastings Park in Vancouver, British Columbia. So. Yeah, we didn't go too far for our Russian needs in 1985.
Well, actually Stallone, as his career progresses, he gets more and more interested in saving money making movies, and so he gets farther and farther away from Hollywood.
Yeah, it makes him in Tunisia now and stuff, right?
Right.
Oh yeah, and like Prague and so forth. He gets off the Western Hemisphere entirely now.
Right, right. That sounds like him. All right.
All right, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's just like him.
You guys notice, I don't know if you noticed this, the trivia pointed out as well, but I also noticed it. If you slow down and look very carefully at the opening scene where you've got the big metal American glove and the big metal arm Russian glove colliding, you can see for a split second after the collision, just barely after the explosion, the Russian glove breaks in half and falls to the ground, thus foreshadowing the future of the movie.
I didn't realize it. I watched it the first time, and I had to run take a pee break real quick, and I was like, well, I've only been in 2 minutes. So I wound it, and I saw the same thing the second time.
It's I actually assumed it was, watching it, and I think I'm going to say that this was the first time I've seen it, although I can't remember if I've seen this movie before.
Oh, man.
It feels like I have.
Oh, you've seen it.
I've seen enough bits and pieces of it that is like I just pieced the movie
up. If you watched 5, you saw...
I think that was we watched 5 together.
Right. If you saw 5, then you saw clips from 4. And if you saw 3, you saw clips.
I saw the first 10 minutes of 4.
So you've
seen all the Rocky. Yeah, you've seen all the Rocky you need.
I want to come back to the complicated jingoism. Did any of you guys get a little uncomfortable with how jerky the Americans were toward their guests early in the movie.
Press conferences and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
but you know what? I don't think that was played for us to notice how jerky we were. That was played for us to be on the side of the jerks. I think that, when I was a kid and they were booing, it was like, yeah, dude, boo, freaking Russia. We hate these guys.
boo.
I remember feeling that way. It was super jingoistic.
I really wondered a lot whether Stallone intended that to be kind of a thought on Reaganism, and it just went over everybody's heads for a couple decades.
I'm gonna guess no. I'm guessing he didn't have that subtlety in there, because the movie there's no subtlety of any kind in it. It's straight up, you know.
Right.
Oh, he killed my friend. I need to knuckle down, and if I work harder in the snow and in the dirt, that's better than these fancy machines and steroids.
Exactly.
I don't want to credit...
Real American training is running up a mountain.
That's right,
I don't want to credit Stallone with too much intellectualism, so don't put that on me. But there are some pretty awesome parallels between the story of the people in this movie and the Cold War itself, the history between the nations in terms of, like I say, what happens when resources turn into wealth and victory, and when someone gets a big defeat, takes a big defeat on one side and so forth. I'm just putting that out there. He may have been a little more thoughtful than you're giving him credit.
Maybe, but to have your Gorbachev lookalike,
which was awesome,
which was pretty good. I got to admit, he looked just like him, but to have without the, he didn't have the tattoo, but, or the tattoo, the birthmark.
Face tattoo. That's great.
The birthmark.
You know, when I saw this back in the day, I remember when I was watching it, I remember thinking, first of all, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot the robot was in this. And then secondly, I remember thinking that Dolph was going to end up being a robot. And that was going to be like,
you remember that at the time thinking that?
Yeah, I remember thinking that, watching it way back when, because if you watch it now, there's still clues there. But, you know, of course, I just totally thought in my mind, but it kind of felt like, maybe he was a little bit of a robot.
There's two things he could have done to clear that up for you. It would have either been this.
Halt, sinners!
Or even better than that, it would have been... Where is it?
Life's a joke. Shitbird!
Right. He didn't do either of those things. Had he done those things, it would have been more clear. In fact, he says very little, and I captured at least two of maybe three total grunty, guttural things he said. One's obvious, but he's hardly said a thing in this entire movie. He's got really no... He's got nothing to say. And I remember... Even at the time, and now more so, wondering why Bridget Nielsen's in this at all. And she's in it because she is his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
She's the voice of Ivan Drago. She's the voice of the robot.
Plus, right. we occasionally see the, you know, his parallel. It's like, okay, well, you know, Rocky's got Adrian. And on the other side, these people, I think there's a little bit of saying, hey, they're human too. And I'm with Randy. I'm going to give Stallone a little more credit than he probably deserves. And say that some of this stuff was intentional.
So there's a trope I want to bring up.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
We can build a Superman in a lab. And up until the point when you actually see Drago training, which is two-thirds of the way through the movie.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, he and his wife and his manager are kind of the good guys. They're kind of just trying to be the best they can be.
Right.
And it's never let on to you that they're actually kind of evil.
They're like, fish the way out of water. They're, you know.
Right, yeah. The way they're portrayed. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I found that kind of clever because the movie held back. Mm. And then you start seeing into that red Soviet lab.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, yeah, they're actually not good people.
I expected a I will be your wingman anytime line at the end, and it never came. Like,
so that last scene, that last line by Stallone and everything, that's supposed to summarize the movie.
That's supposed to summarize the entire conflict.
Was that his Twitter post?
It's supposed to tell you what the movie
It's supposed
was
to
about.
Solve the entire Cold War is what it's supposed to do. And it doesn't, but he
if
thinks
I
it does.
Change one day.
Mm-hmm.
This Gorbachev lookalike will get up and clap for me.
I was actually pleased this time. I don't remember ever giving a shit about that last thought. But this time, because of the fact that I was like, oh, there's really no bad guys, and there's really, oh, wait, we were actually the good guys. That's what he's saying. He's saying we were the good guys. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. Like, we're fighting. We're still fighting. We're still throwing punches. We're still hurting people. Like, no. And then at the end, he finally summarized it. I'm like, oh, right. This movie is about growth.
Mm, right.
And I don't think that you quite make the point if you save the whole point for the last 30 seconds.
Agreed. And that's why I think it's giving him too much credit. And I think he just wanted to make a movie with very easy to understand things. And there's a reason why this movie made more money than all the other Rockies. It's the highest grossing Rocky film. It's because it just hit on all those big, easy to target buttons. It isn't any kind of subtlety people are coming back for. They're going big, giant red button that says, patriotism, Russia's bad, Cold War, giant Russian guy. Like, it's just so, everything is really easy. And even right. Robots. Robots, like number five's alive in that house. Yay.
You know, Russian people, they hated their leaders. That's what we're being fed during this time. And man, they would revolt in a second.
Yeah.
If they could, they would cheer for Rocky, even if he is wearing the enemy's flag around his neck.
Yep.
They're going to cheer for him fighting good.
That's what people told. That's what I was told as a kid.
Honor hero. He is this, that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all kind of crap now.
Crap.
All right. I got a couple. I got a trope. Let me give you this one right here. Here you go. That Rocky freeze frame trope they always do.
Freeze frame.
Mm-hmm. He always likes a good freeze frame. It's either when he's.
Nice Jay Giles band call out there, Brian.
Yeah. Good job. I like that. That was all right. Yeah, I don't like those. They annoy me. To me, yeah.
How many were there? There were like two within the first 15 minutes. At the end of most montages, they would end with...
Oh, a freeze frame? Yeah, almost every time. Drago punching the machine or whatever.
You know, and it's kind of like the same thing you saw in 70s TV. That's how they would end Love Boat. They're all laughing. Ha! And it's, you know, freeze frame. So it's like, all right, you put that together with the opening previously on Rocky. Maybe Sylvester Stallone thought he was making a TV show.
Maybe
he did.
Maybe they just switched production midway and went, you know what? We'll take this to the theater again. One more time,
wait,
guys.
Wait, get this. Rocky TV show. Come on.
Where are we going to put the commercials? is this where a commercial goes?
Right here. And then the other trope I like, or hate, actually. Americans are just party animals and goofy as hell and it doesn't matter. And it's through the eyes of the Russians, we look like crazy people. And I also don't like the idea at all that somehow this big deal between former heavyweight champ Apollo Creed and this fight with this, this world renowned fighter from Russia, that he's just put into a freaking cement elevator hole and it has no idea what's happening. Like, none of this was rehearsed. None of this was shown to him. None of his people were aware that it was going to be this big song and dance routine. He's just innocent, freaking Russian, steely-faced robot man. And it doesn't work that way. Even then, it didn't work that way.
He played it really well. Like, looking at his face and the way he's reacting to the bright lights and the sounds and everything, I was kind of impressed.
And I understand it takes away some of the movie to take that out because it would basically be saying... You know, because it creates this thing where he's like, I don't care what your song and dance is. I'm going to freaking flatten you today.
Right.
And that's important hammer.
It's kind of like during the time that we were seeing a lot of sports figures defect, like they would go to some, venue, Olympics or whatever. And then they would just go, nope, we're staying.
Yeah, they'd come here.
There was a smattering of that throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s. It was
pretty much Cold War period, whenever. Right. But I felt like it was more in the face of people, like Brian saying, because we had like, who was the dancer? Russian dancer crap.
Oh, he did Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yeah, Baryshnikov, that's it.
Yeah.
Him and, because he did that Gregory Hines movie, White Knights or whatever.
Say you, say me.
Oh my gosh.
I had a girlfriend at the time who loved that movie.
Really?
Like, we had to watch that over and over.
I had a girlfriend where it was that horse movie. What was the one
Black
all
Beauty?
What
Black Beauty?
No. Oh, it was all the girls liked it. It was something Shannon, not Shenandoah.
Oh,
you know what I mean.
That time period's Flicka.
kind of, but it was another horse. It was another black horse, in fact, like Black Beauty. Right, but it was something
Butterfield
from
8.
Something mountain. damn it. Anyway. We're going to find this before the end of the episode. People at home are yelling.
There's Ice Worm is yelling it. Hot to Trot.
No.
The Man from Snowy River.
That's the one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
The Man from Snowy River is the one. That was the big hit around here. Every girl I knew, my sisters, all of them obsessed with that movie.
I was going to get to Farlap.
Farlap.
Would you like Google horse movies or something?
Yeah. Horse movie 80s and Hot to Trot and then The Man from Snowy River came up second.
Why am I thinking there's like a movie with like Jeff Bobcat Goldthwait in a horse. Is it?
Oh my god!
Is that a thing?
That was Hot to Trot.
That's a hot trot. That's okay, it. Where he was like, yeah, the horse or whatever.
Exactly.
That's what you don't want, a horse and Bobcat Bullwhip.
All right. But here, I've got a very important legal question, which is what I was trying to get around to. In this exhibition match, we have the death of another man.
Yes.
Of a man.
It seems
man.
To me there would be more consequences to such a thing than just, well, he's dead, going back to Russia. See
you. Our shoulders. Yeah.
See you guys.
Now, I'm not, I know, I realize that people can get hurt in sports, and it's a known thing, and you sign that kind of away. So if you're in a football game and your back is broken, you're permanently paralyzed, it's not like you can blame anybody really, other than, you know, unless there was something really egregious going on.
It's,
but I would really argue something's egregious going on here. You're beating
really
the shit
hard
out of
to
him.
Commit a crime when you're participating in an organized sport is what you're saying.
Yeah, but these days, if this movie took place today, what's the over under on how many lawsuits would be flying around based on?
But you know, but
the manager didn't throw the towel in far and fast enough.
Yeah, but there's a good reason why. Yeah. There's a good reason why you have events like this in Nevada, because they have very specific rules and regulations and
plus a major airport. Get out! No, I think that would fly okay, because I don't think you would start. There wouldn't be enough time to go, okay, we're keeping him, because we'd basically start a war if we were doing that. So it's like, but they said in the movie that Drago wouldn't come back to the U.S. because people were threatening him, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, the government was threatening to arrest him, and that it was a very hostile place to him now.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of
this discussion came up a lot when the UFC got really, really wealthy, because they suddenly wanted to go to places other than just Nevada and New Jersey, and they found it very difficult to get into certain states, and it's still very difficult to get into certain states because Nevada and New Jersey were set up for it. They had, you know, created commissions and rules and regulations, and they had all sorts of big contracting and so forth. And they, you know, they come in and take care of the legal issues, so you don't have to.
Yeah, basically.
And so I don't even think this would phase the state of Nevada. Like, like what was portrayed here was two boxers punching each other in the head. That's the sport.
He did, but he was. Yeah, I don't know. It felt excessive to the point that, I mean, because he was really creaming him. Well, of course, for the movie. But I'm just saying, in a real-life situation, I think something would have
stopped that fight.
Yeah, that's the key.
Stepped in way before
That whole, throw the towel, and then you have a minute of slow-mo.
Yeah.
That ref would have stopped that fight. The second time Apollo goes down, there's no way the ref lets that fight.
Yeah,
continue.
That's his job. You would just answer my question. Is we've got a bad ref here? Is what we've got?
Right.
Because he would have totally stopped that.
I didn't see nothing.
By the way, Dunaway, I just want to clear this up for you before we get to clips. Pauly is not he's not the narrator. He's not the C-3PO. He's not the R2-D2 of this movie. Pauly is the worst case of nepotism in the history of the world.
Yes.
He shouldn't have been anywhere in any of this. He doesn't really provide anything. He's just her annoying brother who's always lounging around, eating their shit, reading their things, kicking their stuff over, reprogramming their robot, and annoying them when they go to another country. He is just obnoxious.
Well, what did C-3PO do?
He followed R2 around. R2's the one that drug him around.
Disassembled and taken hostage. He was a loser.
No, he does have some skills. They don't ever call on his skills, but he does.
R2-D2 is always saving the day.
But no one can talk to R2-D2.
Well, that's a good point. Well,
they all seem to understand him, though.
No, only 3PO does, because even Luke, when he's talking to him,
he
has a screen. He has a screen with words on it.
He does when he's in the X-Wing.
That's the place.
He can't hear it because he's outside.
So when's the other time? Hold on. When's the other time Luke ever understood what R2 is saying outside of that scenario?
When they're walking around Dagobah, like before they bump into Yoda.
They had a conversation. They didn't have a conversation.
Yeah. Luke totally has a conversation with R2-D2 before they bump into Yoda.
I think he's just yapping.
It doesn't matter at that point, because Luke is all swimming in the Force. But before you take this too far, C-3PO was a crappy companion who had some skills that were never called on. That's
I agree.
He's a crappy companion, but he had some skills. The robot in Rocky IV.
I have a particular set of skills.
That's right. Robot Rocky IV, great companion for a person of below average intelligence.
All right.
I'm talking about Polly. Polly's the robot here.
That's who I'm talking about.
Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Our 3PO's only time his skills were ever used was his job as interpreter. That's really the only time.
Right. You speak Spachi.
Yeah, so I completely agree with that. But I defy anyone at this table or anyone listening to this show to find me one example of a cohesive conversation between Luke and that robot that didn't involve a screen translator.
Between Luke and R2-D2?
Yes, never happened.
Hey, George. George is over here for family Christmas.
Oh, I love this. Call a friend. Now. Call a friend.
R2-D2 ever have a conversation without an interpreter screen?
What are you asking,
dude? I love that George is there. Oh, my God.
Why are you asking stupid nerd questions?
I like that his name is George.
Yeah, George says no. George says they didn't have a conversation. I could have sworn they had a conversation on Dagobah when they're walking around.
I think Luke's just sort of saying, oh, man, my shoes or my thing or whatever. And the robot would go, beep,
like
beep,
when
beep.
You're talking to your dog or cat, kind of like that. You know, it's like,
yeah, like that. That's what. That's maybe what it was more like. Anyway, we'll take this outside, everybody. We'll take this outside. Don't worry. All right, I'm going to get to some clips. We got a bunch.
I'm looking forward to seeing the emails that come from that discussion.
Yeah, it should be fun, right?
Mm-hmm. I really am. I'm genuinely looking forward to it.
All right, well, let's get into it. Here's some clips. Let's play this first one and talks about how much Sylvester is really excited about a piece of cake. Here you go.
Hey, babe, why don't you get the cake? I think you'll love it. You got a great surprise for you. You're going to love this cake, okay?
Good Lord.
Wait, you got a cake?
What are you saying? What is he saying?
So what you're saying is...
This is amazing cake. By the way, this cake, you're going to be... Hold on, where's the cake? You get the cake?
Everything is repeated twice in this movie. No lie, cake. At least twice.
Cake, period.
Cake.
There you go. All right, here's Happy Birthday, Polly from the robot. I just don't like how it sounds.
Happy Birthday, Polly!
Happy Birthday, Polly!
Oh, God. I like that it was basically a boombox on a tractor beat.
But I promise you, if you could go back in time 25 years and watch this movie, oh, my gosh. You watch this movie and you're just like, wow.
It's the future in that house.
I don't know. I still think... I must have, or else I would have remembered it. But why did I forget that robot? It must have been okay then.
It's not in there a lot.
I was a very young teen when this movie came out. I didn't know anything about anything, so I probably just thought, "Oh, I'd like one of those." Yeah. But we're adults seeing it.
Why did they have the robot in the flashback at the beginning of Rocky V?
Yeah, what's up with that? How come the robot's not still with Polly? What's going on there?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no kidding. What happened to the robot between 4 and 5?
Yeah, sorry, Rock. Yeah, he
sold it.
Chicken the bucket is what this is. We're describing the chicken the bucket. All right, here's your hot ticket.
Bucket of chicken.
I love this sports guy, so here you go.
Well, can this mammoth Russian, who's already been nicknamed the Siberian Express, wreak havoc among the professional heavyweight ranks? Whoever he fights first, it'll be one hot ticket.
It'll be a top ticket.
Wow. Now, you're wondering why all the bubbly is going on. It's because Apollo's in the pool with his dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's important. He had a TV watching outside, which also was very unrealistic
in
1985.
Funny. When you listen to that, it sounds like Gomez from the Addams Family.
Oh, weird.
Well, can this mammoth rush?
Oh, weird, dude.
You could totally visualize. Kata Mia, can this big Russian beat the.
That's weird. All right. You nailed it. All right. Here's a sweet accent for you.
My husband and I thank you for coming to our training quarter today. As you can see, it is highly advanced, and we wish to show the American press a small portion of the advances our country's made in the technology of human performance.
Now, I know. I know.
That didn't sound weird in the movie, but that sounds really weird in the clip.
Because he's punching the thing.
He's filmed at a carnival.
Yeah.
Boing.
Boing. If you go back then, it was fine. But today, that is a really bad Russian accent. Like, that is not even close. It's nothing like that. She sounds like she's kind of drifting into 4 other dialects. It's bad. But I remember then thinking everybody sounded Russian from that part of the world. If you were Scandinavian or higher or Easter, you sounded like that and it was fine. But here, it's just terrible. That was like the Robin Hood Kevin Costner of 1985. Really bad. All right, here she is again. Something about Popeye.
Then how do you explain his freakish strength?
Like your Popeye. He ate his spinach every day.
Like your Popeye. Weren't they together, Sylvester Stallone and her? Weren't they doing it?
Yes. I don't know if it was before this movie or this movie just kind of made that happen.
Sylvester Stallone.
Really? I doubt legit. This movie
yeah.
made that.
Yeah, episode. They were together for a couple of years.
So here it is. I'm going to read you the info. It says, the Rocky marriage ends in 19... This is an article from 87. Oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. They put up their archives on People magazine. It says here, Sly says bye-bye, Bridget, and so Rocky marriage ends with a split decision.
Get it, Rocky marriage.
Oh, split decision.
Wow. So this was 2 years after this movie came out.
That they went, 14 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. It was, December 15th, 1985. They were married until July 13th, 1987. So less than 2 years, but... apparently got married. Well, yeah, that makes sense. He got married after the filming of this movie, but probably
Wait, so
got together
Stallone's
because
not
of it.
Married to Adrian in the movie.
Whoa, think of that.
No relationship at all to Talia Shire.
No, she's done all right for herself.
Has she?
She's in all kinds of stuff, TV stuff, and yeah, she's still working.
Wow.
I mean, you know,
what else will we know her from?
Yeah, that's a damn fine
I wasn't
question.
Trying to put you on the spot. I mean,
no,
George, where was...
the Godfather movies.
Godfather movies, yes. That's it. Yeah. Duh. Talia Shire. Yeah.
Yeah, where were you there? Where were you for that one, George?
Yeah, where were you, buddy? with his vast Star Wars knowledge. I like that's George right. a lot. I liked him anyway, but now I really like him.
Yeah.
Here's your another clip. This one is something about regular people.
We're changing. We're like... turn into regular people.
Some kind of...
This is so bad. And he quits calling him... If I heard Apollo Creed call him Stallion one more time.
I knew, right? Oh,
mm-hmm. I hated
how vain,
it.
How vain are they in there watching their own boxing match?
Yeah. Hey, Stallion, what'd you think of that
there
move?
There was a little bit of romantic, kind of a bromance going on there.
Oh, a little?
Okay. All right, it was pretty dang overt.
Right. This movie cranks it up to 11 because it's only got a few minutes to convince you that they've right. become best friends so that you feel something when Apollo dies and Rocky's holding him.
Yeah. So he says this all the time.
Nah, Stallion.
Nah, Stallion.
Nah, Stallion.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Nah, see?
Nah, Stallion.
That's good stuff. Where the hell is Jackson? All right, here is a bad joke. So here's a bad joke.
I've retired more men than Social Security.
Oh, Apollo Creed.
Completely off the cuff line.
I liked you better when you were waving your severed arm in the air and the Terminator was, or the Terminator, Predator. The Predator was trying to eat you. Here's Drago's first line. Here you go.
You will lose.
You will lose. That's not even him.
You will lose.
There's no way that's him.
No.
Did he say
no,
you will lose?
Yeah. Here, wait. I zoomed and enhanced. Now let's listen.
Hold, sinners!
There we go.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they
weird,
got the robot you... to say you will lose.
It does sound like. It sounds like.
Actually, let's do both.
Happy birthday, Polly. You will lose.
That's pretty close.
it's Siri.
That's so stupid. All right, Russians and Americans are summed up in this clip.
You have this belief that you are better than us. You have this belief that this country is so very good and we are so very bad.
We summed it right up there. The whole conflict. Mm-hmm. You are so very good.
Right. Oh, those Russians. Oh, they're kind of right.
They're kind of right. We're such dicks. Some drama. Here's some drama.
Yeah. Even if you win, what have you won? Apollo's still gone. Why can't you change your thinking? Everybody else does.
Because I'm a fighter. That's the way I'm made, Adrian. That's what you married. We can't change what we are.
Oh.
That goes back.
It's dramatic.
All the way back to the first one.
Yep.
Can't change what you are. No.
So here's where I just want to stop and ask you. Do you think Stallone has a Rocky voice for the character? Or do you think... he is always 100% of his life. This is how he sounds when he talks.
Well, I've heard him I heard him on Blu-ray extra stuff for one of the Expendables movies, and he's like that, but dips it. So he's still got. He has that thing, whatever that thing is, that Italian thing.
That's what I'm thinking. He's doing more.
He drags it
enhancing,
way out.
He's enhancing.
It's 80%. Yeah. It's,
right. Yeah. I don't.
There's not a lot of. Of
he's
variance.
Putting a little. He's putting a little Parmesan cheese on that thing. He's just
enhancing. I ask because usually as people age, their voice troubles get worse.
Yeah.
And the man is 68 years old. Mm. We're recording this in Christmas week 2014. He's 68 years old. He is making a freaking Rambo movie right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be the fifth, and he is determined it's the final one. It's called Last Blood.
Last Blood? Oh, I see.
Last Blood was the first one. Good.
Mm. And I just wonder if he's going to even have any lines.
Hey, I want that movie to be him bonking his head on the tub and then bleeding out. I call it Last Blood. Oh,
he's,
no.
Oh, my hip. Where's my life alert?
He gets a job at a maquiladora that doesn't have OSHA protections and slips and falls down some stairs or something.
Adrian, he can yell on the floor. That'd be great.
No, Rambo. He's working as a Walmart greeter. It's finally just at the end.
Here's your 80s montage music, just some of it.
Oh, yeah. That's a car.
Yeah, he's in his car. He's about to go do that. Yeah, that was right before he took off, and it got real dumb after that. Here's some more bad music. We're not
indestructible. Yeah. Okay, can we stop there for just a second?
Yes.
Okay, so Rocky III is the movie that gave us Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, excuse me. Wow.
So I'm going to do it. Gonna be like this.
My voice just left.
It did. It just left you.
Wow.
What the heck is that? Halt, sinners.
So, halt, sinners! You heard it here first, folks.
Eye of the Tiger, Rocky III.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rocky IV, they try to do it twice. They got Burning Heart by Survivor and then War by Vince DiCola, right?
Yeah. May as well all be the same song, but yeah.
I don't think they even came close. I think either of those or both of those would have been better if they just reused Eye of the Tiger.
Or different arrangements of it or something.
Well, they did reuse Eye of the Tiger.
At the top, in the flashback.
At the top, in the flashback.
The attempt to convince you to like new music.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It was very much like, hey, people like the rap in the first Ninja Turtles movie. Let's have Vanilla Ice do the next one.
That was actually
and that'll be better.
Yeah.
And then it's worse.
But it's funny because you go through the song list, the soundtrack list. All right, you got your Survivor.
Yeah.
Then you've got your Kenny Loggins doing Double or Nothing. Mr. Danger Zone.
I missed that. In this?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I completely missed that. I didn't know that was him.
I kind of missed it as well. Mm. Then you've got Survivor's Burning Heart. And then you've got Hearts on Fire, written or performed by John Cafferty from, Streets of Fire, but also written by Joe Esposito, who did the Karate Kid You're the Best Around music. So they really banked a lot on this is going to be montage soundtrack extraordinaire.
Oh, man. Right. They knew what they wanted.
We're pulling out our Danger Zone guy.
Yep.
We're pulling out our Best Around guy.
Mm-hmm. You're the best. How's that go? How's that one go
You're
for?
The You're best. The best around.
That's the one they reused for South Park's World of Warcraft episode.
Yes, exactly.
So good.
And the Cat on the Treadmill YouTube video.
So good. All right, here's Polly falling in the snow. I captured that sound. Here you go. Ah. That's it.
For someone who's a secondary character, he sure isn't there, Linus.
Here you go.
Now bless this guy's teeth out.
That's what he's good for, is just yelling streetwise comments.
I guess
and
he's the everyman.
He's supposed to be comic relief?
I think he's supposed to, but he's just suckling on the teat of his brother-in-law's millions is what he's doing.
Yeah, but he's the audience associated with guy, right? He's the guy that the audience is supposed to be like, oh, Russia, look at that, it's all cold there. Oh, let me get back on the plane.
I think he keeps Rocky grounded. That's what I think. Because he always comes with...
Because he's an anchor.
He's always bringing Rocky back down to reality.
So his job as anchor and also comedy relief, supposedly, that I don't think he does enough in either category to be worthy to be in the movie.
I don't think he's funny at all. I don't think he's comedy relief at all.
Well, when he fell in the snow, he did that.
There were several spots where he's comic relief. I mean, he's the reason for the ridiculous robot.
Yeah.
But there are also several spots where he's called upon to deliver some kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
And it just, oh, wow. How awesome would it have been if that character was a washed up fighter himself who had gotten an injury and spent a lot of time just thinking and not being an idiot and occasionally delivered, as the corner man's second, occasionally delivered a good piece of advice.
I'd be down with that. That'd be better. Here's your Rocky's kid needs better friends. These kids are kind of dicks. Here's their line.
What do you think we are, nerds?
We think we are nerds. You know what? I want to go push him in the snow and have him go. All right.
If my dad was on international television on Christmas and one of the most famous people in the world and referred to me as kid, I would be pretty sad.
Would you?
Yeah.
But not if he calls you kid all the time. That's the thing he calls
you.
No,
it's horrible. It's such a slap in the face.
I don't like it either. I also don't like Scout. I know it's an older term, but hey, Scout, what you doing?
Scooter.
My I had an uncle who called me Scout. It drove me crazy. All right, here's I will. Oh yeah, you guys know this line.
I must break you.
There you go. Second line of the movie.
I think that one was delivered by Dolph.
Yeah,
Sounds, that one doesn't sound like a dubbed in line.
Well, let's zoom in and enhance real quick here. Let's see. Here we go.
Life's a joke. Shit burn.
Yeah, totally him. Totally him. Totally.
It is funny though when you're listening to the fight, you hear them overdubbing. Every time there's a hit, and it's comical. If you catch it early enough and you're paying attention, you're listening for it, it just gets comical because you're just picturing them sitting there in a sound booth watching the fight.
If you want to see how it's done now, like proper, straight up, great fight sequence stuff, I would recommend, and the name just flew by me, it's that Tom Hardy one, the UFC thing.
Fighter?
Damn it. Nick Nolte's his dad.
Yeah.
His brother's that other guy.
Warrior.
There you go. The fight stuff in there. Awesome. Holy crap. Just insanely realistic looking. I swear those guys are truly beating the crap out of each other. It's insane.
Weirdly enough, that also came up under horse movies of the 80s. I don't know why.
How weird. Yeah. I don't trust the internet anymore.
No, right. Not anymore.
Here's a couple more lines. This one.
You're going to do it. That was your rooting from Adrian. You're going to do it.
You're going to do it.
That's so stupid. He
kept rooting against him until he did that.
And then he went,
you're not going to do this.
You're going to do it. You a fair weather fan. All right. And then this is the quiet moment at the end where you're all supposed to take heart and listen to this very carefully.
If I can change.
Я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
Ugh, that's so bad.
Isn't that just obvious? If I can change and you can change, then everybody can change?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
If it rains, we're going to get wet.
Ooh, water symbolism.
Oh, wow. Yeah, easy there. Actually, I have a question about water symbolism for next week's episode, but we'll get to that. Okay,
it didn't. I realize now that he could have had a stronger point if he had learned anything about that part of the world while he was over there. He isolated himself and he trained in the snow, which may as well have been Canada, and it was.
May as well have been Wyoming.
Yeah.
And he missed an opportunity to just get anything, any little thing, like just an interaction. Okay, interaction with some like Orthodox people on a wagon or something.
Yeah, it helps them move their car or truck or whatever.
I don't even remember anymore. For some reason, I thought it was Orthodox Jews, Amish going to town or something. But anyway,
someone put a snow cone in his face.
I just watched the movie. That's my memory is that he's in Pennsylvania in the winter helping the Amish.
Yeah.
Anyway,
John
but
Book.
If he had just gone to town, if there had been a scene, you know, where he'd realized, they're kind of like us. Now I have to go kill their representative. That would have made the final point a lot better for me.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have got all those sweet montages of him doing the science thing and then him in nature. Science, nature, science, nature.
To me, it rang of the same thing as a winner of a Super Bowl and getting a mic pushed in his face. What do you want to say to your fans and have him go, well, first of all, I just want to thank Jesus because without Jesus, we wouldn't have beat the 49ers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff always falls so empty and shallow on me. And this would have sounded like that if I was at the actual match at this very important thing, the American one, and he said those things, I would have rolled my eyes and gone, oh, really? That's how you're gonna
I don't
end?
Know. You just had a lot of people cheering for the wrong guy in front of their glorious leader. That's a weird situation right there.
It is, but that of course wouldn't have happened either is the main point. And also, look, one of those guys went to a real hospital with 8 days of a freaking bad heart. I think we know what that means. Drago would have kicked his arse. That would have been the end of it. And both those guys ripped as shit. They both looked amazing. Yeah. I mean, Stallone, maybe that was the most ripped I've ever seen him. But I still say Drago would have murdered him.
Apollo was looking good, too. They were all looking greasy, too.
Everybody, nice. They're all greased up.
Like a Kardashian.
Right, right? Oh, yeah.
We don't usually grease up with just sparring, but I thought I'd go ahead and grease up anyway.
Do you realize now that that is so set? Like, 2014 is the year that's when someone's backside looks like a Krispy Kreme glazed donut. Anytime you ever see that the rest of your life, you're going to think of this.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Scott Fletcher saw the whole movie.
Hallmark year fest.
Yeah, it really is.
For humanity.
Fletcher saw the entire movie and he had this to say at the end.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a story.
There you go. So Fletcher pipes in with his thoughts. All right. We are going to now jump straight into what I like to refer to as the button I can't find. Nope. I like to call it the checklist. Oh, and it goes something like this. All montages, check. Shitty robot, check. The flashbacks were a nice reminder of just how great Rocky 1 was and how gross Rocky's apartment door was, check. All right, great.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Black guy dies first.
Oh, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about that. I hadn't considered that.
It goes back to like our first episode of FilmSec.
Yeah, like that's an old checklist.
An oldie bit of goodie. Hey, did Mr. T die in 3? How'd that go?
No.
He just conceded.
He just beats the crap out of Rocky, and then Rocky comes back and beats him.
No. That's a real twist I didn't expect. you're telling me that Rocky looked like he might be getting beat, but then comes back? That's insane.
No. He actually loses a fight.
And then that's right.
Back. Yeah, that was typical.
Then he fights, then he comes back, yeah.
Second fight, win.
Now, I mean, Rocky 1 is unique in that sense that they didn't give us the winner at the end. You know, the winning is knowing that Adrian's the most important thing to you. And, you know, like, that's a subtle, interesting thing to do in your movie.
Right. And then Rocky 2 goes so far the other direction that they have a bunch of people chase him up some steps.
Yeah.
And have that crowning glorious moment of awesome thing at the end. It was the stupidest trope ever. I'm getting to where every time I see that, I just hate it more and more and more.
I don't like it.
And I'm so glad this movie didn't end with him getting, you know, like getting a belt or a humanitarian award or something. Like, just end it with his stuff. And
Princess Leia putting a medal around his neck.
Yeah,
they knew this movie wasn't worried about not spoiling, though, because even the movie posters was him draped in an American flag being carried by Russians.
Looking victorious
with nobody else to be seen. You think he might win this movie? I think he might.
Yeah.
I think he might pull it off at the end. All right. We got some Star Trek stuff here. Connections. These are from the Trek Nerd, from Daryl. Michael Pataki played Nikolai Koloff on TOS. He was Klingon Korax in The Trouble with Tribbles. This guy goes way back.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And TNG played Karnass in The Too Short a Season.
That name?
Karnass.
Again.
Karnass. Maybe it's Karnass.
That's a redneck Klingon, Karnass.
Karnass. Yo, Karnass, get your ship out of the freaking neutral zone. Jeff Austin was a reporter in this. He played on DS9, a Bullion security officer, and in Voyager, played Alos, the Omega Directive was the episode. Soundtrack, I'd give it fine for, I mean, it can't be fun for the fights and for the montages, but the rest is shit. Like the quiet moments at home talking to Adrian, terrible. Piano, awful. I want to say 5 had the same stuff and we complained about it then. It's bad.
Yeah.
So S for shit right there. All right. You guys have a chance now to sum this thing up in 140 characters or less. Yay. We do it as tradition by starting with Randy. Go.
Rocky 4. Two worlds collide. Rival nations. It's a primitive clash. Venting years of frustrations. Bravely we hope. Against all hope. There is so much at stake. Rated PG.
Wow. That felt epic for some reason.
It did feel epic.
Up next, Dunaway.
Rocky 4. Like getting punched in the nuts, then having a montage of you getting punched in the nuts for an hour and a half.
Absolutely.
Wow. The impressions of Stallone going around today are really odd. We're having some good times, though. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Rocky 4. If you're going to put Southpaw on your license plate and you only have 6 letters, wouldn't you just leave off the W at the end? Ding, ding.
Ding and done.
Well, while you guys were coming up with that list, I was just handed this list right here. This is the list of alternate titles. First one, I really like this first one. Out of Action Jackson. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
think,
pretty
think
good.
About
that
it.
Is really good.
That's not bad. Or My Polly, Wherever I Go, He Goes. My Polly.
This is the segment in the show where I feel like more and more we're channeling Chris Hardwick and At Midnight.
It does feel like a little bit. Not trying to, though. We got an email from Justin L. Tabor, who says, hey guys, not too long ago I came across a movie I thought you'd be interested in seeing because you do classic sci-fi from time to time. It's called Just Imagine. It's a 1930 sci-fi musical comedy, and it's pretty weird. I'm sure. I'm not sure if it's sackable or meets your criteria. Yeah, our criteria. It's pretty scarcely available and hasn't been restored, but the entire thing is on YouTube. I've been listening for a while and really enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Dustin. I don't see any reason why something like that couldn't be a possibility.
But it's a movie from 1930. Musical.
1930. That has got to be rough. Like early talkie. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. We never have really. We've never dipped that far back. I want to say our oldest movie was like 52. 50s?
Yeah, 50 something.
Yeah. So we'll put it on the consideration list there, Dustin. Speaking of things that are coming up, we have The Replacement Killers next week.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite action movie of the 1990s.
Really?
I'm not counting The Matrix because it's too close to 2000, and I'm not counting like Jurassic Park or things like that. I mean like crime, action, street dirty movies.
Scott, I just want to say you're such a good friend. I hope this movie holds up for you.
Well, let's see if it holds up for me. That's the real question, isn't it? Yeah. Chun Yao Fat or Fun Chow Fat. What is it?
Chun Yao Fat.
Chow Fat Yun. Sorry. He's in it. Anna and the King, that guy.
Never seen it.
That was great, by the way. Anna and the King. It's actually pretty good. If you don't mind, well, whatever. I don't want to besmirch one of our great actresses, but I have a limited threshold for how much I can do what's her name.
Mira Sorvina?
No. From
the King.
King and I. Or Anna and the King. What's
Hathaway?
Her name? No.
Who was it?
Old school.
Recent. That's the newer one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Freaking Clarice. What's her name?
Oh.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I can only take so much of her. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, The Replacement Killers next week. That'll be our New Year's episode. And I hope you guys
really?
Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. This was Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody, by the way.
Merry Christmas. I hope that Rocky wins for you.
I hope so, too, because why not? We are at filmsack.com. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. Keep those emails coming. Follow us on Twitter @filmsack. If you want to leave a review for this show, do it at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are distributed. That's going to do it for us. Here's some weird music from me, from Brian, and from Randy. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Hey guys, don't forget, you can help us by going to patreon.com/frogpants and helping FilmSack and other Frog Pants shows do what they do best, and that is make great content for you. For as little as, I don't know, $1 a month, you could be a part of something big. That's at patreon.com/frogpants.